Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the epistle lesson for this day, Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is our text. Dear fellow redeemed, in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I once served as a lecturer in classics at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. And one of the classes or courses that I taught was Greek and Latin backgrounds to English words. We would go over words that had or that developed out of Greek or Latin words. And one day I asked the class if they could come up with another word that meant cemetery that had either good Greek or Latin pedigree to it. When I didn't get an answer, I threw out the word necropolis, a city of the dead. And after a few classes of going through words that weren't in their active or passive vocabulary, and probably some of them not in mine either, one of the members of the class stopped me afterwards and asked if I stayed up late every night thinking up new words. But one of the interesting units in the course that I found a bit fascinating was a study of how some words change in terms of their acceptability over the years. Some start out as very positive terms and then degenerate to having a pejorative meaning. And then others do the exact opposite. They start out as negative words and then become positive. One good example is propaganda. I doubt whether any of you will suggest in your congregations that you rename the Evangelism Committee the Committee of Gospel Propaganda. And yet it was Pope Gregory XV who used the word in a group that he established in his church, Congregatio de Propaganda Fidei, the Congregation for the Propagation of the Faith. It starts out as a good word, but now usually means the furthering some kind of negative ism within our society. Well, with that in mind, when I read this text, the word that occurred to me in terms of what Paul is advocating is the word counterculture. But that is a word that has a negative meaning in our society. If you look it up in the dictionary, it says that it means a culture, especially for the young, that has values and mores different from those of the established society. And often we think of counterculture maybe as referring or associated with subversive groups that are bent on destroying or changing our established culture or society. But if we could elevate the term, that is clearly what Paul, I think, is speaking about in our text. When he says, ophiletai esmen, he's saying literally, we are debtors. Or as more commonly translated, we have an obligation. And he says that the obligation that we have is to live a life that is the exact opposite of the life that is advocated and accepted in our secular society around us. Paul doesn't use the word counterculture, but when he says that we have to not live according to the flesh, but we must live according to the Spirit, This is a life that is different from the life of our society. We are finding ourselves, I think, increasingly in the mindset and the circumstance of the pre-Constantinian church, when Christianity was opposed to the culture of its day, which led to its persecution. But then with the Constantinian age and down through the Middle Ages, and maybe even as late as the 1960s and 1970s, Western culture largely had Christianity either as one of its major underpinnings, or it lived in reasonable harmony with the Christian faith. We did not basically feel estranged in our society, even though we knew there were many things wrong with the lives of some people, and we all struggled with our life of dedication and sanctification. But more recently, Western society and culture have increasingly become more non-Christian and even anti-Christian. In verses 12 and 13, Paul says that we have an obligation not to live according to the sinful nature, and that if we do so, we are going to die. And not just die temporally, but spiritually and eternally. But what Paul is saying there, that is exactly the opposite of what the world is asking us to do. For the world asks us to live according to the flesh. And the world says that if we live according to the flesh, we are going to live, and we are going to live life to the fullest. But look at what the world asks us to do. Last week's Newsweek magazine reported that violent films, video games, and CDs are routinely marketed to children, with blood-spattered movies even being hawked to campfire girls. In a list of 44 violent films, R-rated movies, 80% of them, it is said, were marketed to children under 17. And Hollywood even had plans to make sure that one violent film was exposed to everyone between the ages of 12 and 18. Or maybe you read that at the current Olympic Games in Australia, when the Italian soccer team celebrated the victory, they did so with a mini striptease before 93,000 spectators. Or when the Olympic torch was carried down Sydney's Oxford Street, known as the Violent Mile. It is said that it went through a stretch of the city that was so gay that it would make San Francisco look like Burlington, Vermont. Or in our country, the recent news was that Dr. Laura Schlesinger's talk show has been temporarily, at least, canceled because of the large organized opposition by the gay community, because she speaks out so strongly against their lifestyle and advocates a more traditional family life. In last week's news magazine, there was also a full-page ad for the Jaguar XK8 convertible, and it carried this caption: "Live vicariously through yourself." I'm not quite sure what that means, but it certainly did promote gross hubristic materialism that urges us to lay up our storehouse in this world and to enjoy all that is temporal and pleasurable, much contrary to the life of the Spirit. In that kind of world, Christian life is indeed becoming countercultural. For the world says that if we live the way they want us to live, we are going to enjoy life and have a happy life. But Paul says that if we live this way of the world, we are going to definitely die, and die for eternity. The world follows the flesh, but Paul says we are to live according to the Spirit. And not just that spirit, that second higher part of our dichotomous self, But we are to live according to the Spirit of God who sanctifies us. Paul says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We are to live according to the Holy Spirit who sanctifies us. And the obligation to live this countercultural life, if you will, is not something that we choose. That's why St. Paul says that this new life is lived by those who are led by the Spirit of God. And those who are led by the Spirit of God, he says, are already the sons of God. We have a new status because of our redemption, our justification, our having been cleansed in the blood of Christ. We are the redeemed children of God. And that puts us in this debt or under this obligation now to live the way our Heavenly Father wants us to live. This is the way we live our life, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit and the will of God. As our society becomes increasingly secularized, non-religious, and even anti-Christian, I think we are beginning to find ourselves more and more in the position of a counterculture, but a positive and God-pleasing one. We are beginning to find out how life was for the early Christians when their world was clearly a non-Christian world. And we know that the first non-biblical category of literature that the early Christians wrote was hortatory literature, writings that encourage and try to embolden the Christians to live the Christian life. A kind of literature that urged them not to give up in the face of all the difficulty around them. Our text is also, I think, a bit of hortatory literature because Paul is encouraging and exhorting us to live according to the Spirit and the will of God, not the way of our world. And I think exhortation will have to increasingly be a greater part of our Christian life, as we need the encouragement and the urging of one another not to give in to the lifestyle of our secularized and increasingly non-religious world. We have to live the life of the Spirit, not the life of the flesh. God has redeemed us. God now sanctifies us. And may God grant that we can always do his will and live according to his Spirit. Amen.